This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Turn your microphone up, dozy boy. Good afternoon. What a magnificent Saturday, and what a gorgeous show we have coming up for you. It's all focused very much on wine, so perhaps you might need to take the cork out of a bottle of something, or in fact a screw cap off the top. Well, yes, indeed, we are talking cravings because it's what we do every Saturday, 6 minutes past one. Pete Dillon here with you till 2 o'clock, taking you through an hour of the best in food and beverage. Oh, that's what I think anyway. You may not agree. Today, we're very wine-focused. Normally, I sort of will find you a chef or I'll find you someone to talk to about producing food. Occasionally, we get to sit back and just have a metaphorical glass together as we wander through a discussion around wine. I think last time we spoke to Dan Sims all about the boys making their wine over in South America and all sorts of things that were going on then. And I may have mentioned that their rosé would be here in time for the Rosé Revolution. Their winery is Two Men in Mendoza, and with a bit of luck and a fair wind, I should imagine that their wine will in fact be here, ready for the Rosé Revolution. Dan or Ben may be listening in and can send us information to let us know. And of course, I'd love you to send me information to let me know that you too are listening. 0427JOY949. That is the SMS number. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can do things the old-fashioned way. Pick up the phone, ring Heath. He's sitting on the front desk, chowing down on something that does smell very, very delicious. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949. Or you can send a tweet to cravings_JOY949. Because today we are talking about, at least for the first part of the program, the Rosé Revolution. And I'm very, very lucky to have Bree in the studio with me. Bree, welcome.
Thank you, Pete. Thanks for having us.
I'm having a trouble with putting onto people's microphones today. Let's talk a little bit about you first. You're down from Queensland.
Originally a Queensland girl, yes. Yep. So moved to Melbourne beginning of this year via Vancouver.
I was going to ask, where does that little bit of a North American lilt come in?
Yes, a decade in Canada, so primarily
That'll pretty much do it to you, won't it?
pretty much.
How is Vancouver for wine?
It was actually fantastic for wine. It was a very, I guess, a traditional style of market, but also very much a local supporting market as well.
A lot of wines also, I would imagine, in from the northwest of the United States, so Northern California, Washington State,
absolutely, Oregon. Yeah, yeah. Oregon, Pinot, yeah, California, big supporters, and their own little Okanagan Valley as well.
Mm. How do they stack up against Australian wines, if you were to make that sort of comparison?
California wines are definitely the more, you know, big brawny styles of vibrant fruit and high alcohol styles of wine.
As we do like them.
Exactly. but, you know, Oregon and Washington is much more food-friendly styles of wine that are a little more savoury and reserved in terms of their fruit profile.
Some examples?
Oregon, Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir, yeah. Which is beautiful. I love Pinot Noir.
Yeah, yeah. Red Hills of Dundee and all of that mm-hmm. area, you know, just beautiful, beautiful, bright strawberry fruit, but also a really lovely undertone of forest floor and savory characters that goes really well with food.
I love the description of wine as forest floor. it's like, you know, the pair of a leather saddle and you know, tomato ketchup. I'm interested to hear your favourite description. 0427 Joy949. Do send me a text. I'm desperate to hear from you. onair@joy.org.au is the email, or you can send a tweet to cravings_joy949. Interesting that we are talking about sort of strawberry characteristics in those wines, because that's something that has made its way, some might say unnecessarily, into rosés that a lot of people would know, and therefore they have an inherent sweetness, cordial-like taste. We are here to dispel that myth.
Absolutely.
So how does that happen? How do we get rosés that taste like you're drinking kitty cordial?
I think it's a product of perhaps overproduction in the industry, or mm-hmm. as just, you know, we need to have a rosé at our cellar door type mentality.
So we'll make it out of this leftover grape and just make sure it's got very high residual sugar.
Exactly, because, you know, residual sugar covers, you know, a million faults in winemaking. So,
yes, it does.
So you can use, yeah, not very good quality grapes. And I think that's how we end up with a lot of cheap and cheerful, you know, lolly water rosés around.
And they are lolly water rosés, a lot of them. However, we've been now looking at, I can't remember how many rosé revolutions there have been. I'm thinking that this is at least the fourth, or is it the third?
It's the third.
Okay.
Yes.
I might have had my own little rosé revolution at one point, because the whole idea behind the rosé revolution that kicks off on Wednesday is it's about education in some respects to get people to start looking at rosés that are dry and savoury and minerally. Talk me through the styles we're looking at now.
Yeah, I think that's the fear factor behind people buying rosé, is that when you tend to walk into a liquor store, if you're not familiar with the people in there or what's on the shelf, then you tend to shy away from things that are unknown. And we really don't know when we look at rosé whether it's going to be sweet or dry from the colour that we're looking at.
Well, that's what I was about to ask. Can we tell from colour? Can we tell from anything on the bottle that it is a drier style?
Yeah, unfortunately, you really can't, unless it has something like Sec or Trocken written on it. But mostly you can almost guarantee that anything that is very pale pink or pale salmon in colour, or more onion skin in colour, is going to be a...
Onion skin?
Yeah, you know, just the outside of the onion skin, it's got that slight coppery hue to it.
Right. No, I'm with you. I'm learning things here.
So you can almost guarantee that those colours of rosé are going to be dry, savoury styles. Serious rosés, as opposed to the, you know, giggly
lolly water stuff.
Yeah.
But now, when we talk, look, what we might do, we'll have a couple of messages, and then we'll come back and we'll actually sort of unpack what that rosé will then taste like, what it goes with, and why we're having a revolution. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It's 13 minutes past one. My name is Pete Dillon, here with you until 2 o'clock.
Joy 94.9.
Yes, it is a weekend here on Joy, 14 minutes past one on the gayest station in the nation, as our little Matty T tells us when he finishes the news every Saturday. And I did, I was remiss in not thanking Matthew for the news. Thank you, Matt. He's actually standing in the studio.
You're
waving.
Welcome,
there we go. Throwing his voice from outside the glass. And also thank you to Mark for a very interesting discussion with Lucy on detours this morning. This afternoon after 12 o'clock. Now, Bree is my guest. She is here to talk about the Rosé Revolution. And just before we went to those messages, Bree, we were talking about the styles of rosé that we're talking about. People won't, if they're doing anything that's rosé over this next couple of months, they won't want to find lolly water.
No, definitely not. No one wants to find lolly water, I don't think, for good food and wine pairing. So definitely look for more of the rosés that are that pale pink in colour.
Onion skin.
definitely nothing with bubbles. Stay away from the pink Moscato. That is definitely not going to be dry.
No.
But, you know, things like serious grape varietals that are made as serious rosés.
So Grenache.
Grenache tends to, yeah, make a darker coloured rosé,
yep.
But generally dry to off-dry. So we see those coming out of South Australia mm-hmm. mostly, pretty high alcohol.
Malbec,
yes, again, dark skin colour, but really quite savoury wines as well, and more in that blackberry, blackcurrant spectrum mm-hmm. of flavours. So, you know, good rosés to be having a barbecue with or, you know, sausages, things like that.
And then the far more pale pink rosés that, as you say, are almost bordering on the pinky, apricot-y, brownie colour.
Yes. So Pinot Noir
yep.
from Yarra, Mornington. Yes. Sangiovese. A lot of our winemakers are making, you know, fabulous Sangiovese rosés, and they don't make those in Italy. So
no. Well, it's interesting. There's just finishing this afternoon is the Australian and Alternative Varieties Wine Show happening in Mildura in my hometown. And in past years, there's been a lot of rosés made from a lot of alternative grapes. I know that Kim Chalmers and her sister Tennille, for example, make a Negro Amaro.
Yeah, fantastic. That's one of my favourite rosés.
The Negro Amaro Rosado. I still have a number of bottles on my shelf of sort of 2005, 2006. Stunning, stunning wine. So a lot of those Italian varietals, which mean they are very warm climate wines.
Yes.
Very good for making rosé.
Perfect for our climate as well. You get the flavour ripeness without really getting a heavy red wine. So they're actually perfect for making into rosé styles.
Mm.
And I guess the style that our winemakers are now, homaging is the style from France, from the south of France.
Well, the south of France, from the Camargue down there, where all of those beautiful flamingos live on sandy soil.
Exactly.
A wonderful place to get some rosé.
Is there anything better than sitting by the Mediterranean drinking a glass of pale rosé? Yeah, Bandol, you know, fantastic. And that's, you know, Grenache and Vedra Rosé that's made in a serious style, and you know, they're some of the reasonably expensive wines, but they're taken very seriously, which is what we need to do in Australia.
Yes, indeed. Now, what do you have rosé with? I mean, there are so many wonderful food matches. You mentioned those bigger, darker skin grapes go really well with barbecue, but if you then take some of those more, if I can use the term, more feminine styles of sort of dry, minerally rosé, beautiful with things like Thai food and...
Absolutely, yeah. Especially coming into spring, all of the lovely fresh, you know, asparagus, goat's cheese, tapas, all of the jamon. I mean, look at how many, you know, little piggies we have been made into jamon Australia, you know, around Victoria especially. It's just perfect to have with a glass of Sangiovese or Pinot Noir rosé.
And great if you've got a couple of lumps of sourdough and some bacon and you're having a big-ass bacon sandwich.
Perfect. Great acidity and great savouriness. But, you know, you've also got really those lovely flavours of strawberry and sour cherry and some tea notes coming through. So there is a lot more going on there than just the, you know, cordial flavors.
It's almost a breakfast wine, I would suggest.
It is definitely a breakfast wine.
And whilst we're in the middle of spring racing, there are some pink bubbles about.
Yes.
And there are some very famous, well-known champagne houses, some very well-known monopoles that do, in fact, produce pink sparkling.
Absolutely, yeah. And
let's start with Krug, shall we?
Krug, delicious. Yeah, you know, the cool climate of Champagne is perfect for making, you know, Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier rosé styles. And they have those lovely, you know, almost almondy meringue marzipan notes lying underneath those strawberry and rose petal florals. And, you know, it's delicious to have a glass of that in your hand at 10 a.m. and it goes with your frock as well.
Well, generally they do. Look, we'd love to hear from you and find out if there's anything in rosé that you do actually like. If you're in the car or perhaps you're I don't know, on your way to IKEA, what do we do on a Saturday afternoon? I'm always here. 0427JOY949. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can phone Heath, 1300-JOY949. Give him a telephone call. He can relay a message in here. Or you can send a tweet to cravings_JOY949. So on a Wednesday, when I actually break my fast that I'm on, the Rosé Revolution launches. So let's talk through what's happening for the launch, shall we? It's happening at Fetish in Federation Square.
Yes, so the Melbourne launch is happening at Fetish, at Federation Square. It kicks off at 5 p.m. and is going to be around 40 or so deliciously dry, savory rosés for you to come and have a taste of, experiment with, you know, make friends with, find one that you like. There'll also be a number of winemakers coming out from the Yarra Valley and King Valley and our local areas to walk you through their favourite rosés.
So
as
some
well.
Of those winemakers, we've got the Pizzini people coming for a start.
Yes, Pizzini, and we have the De Bortoli crew.
Coming, now, Sarah Fagan, who is one of the winemakers at De Bortoli, who we've spoken to in the past, is a very passionate advocate for these dry, savoury rosé styles.
She is, and she makes a fantastic dry, savoury rosé out in the Yarra Valley that's, yeah, very, very complex and... Well, almost just delicious to sit around on the patio drinking with that little plate of ham on and charcuterie.
Ooh,
and
yum.
You can't get any better. Yeah, barrel fermented styles, you know, that
stop,
really
stop,
has
stop.
Structure.
Stop, stop, I'm running fast. Now, if you're curious, 22 degrees on Wednesday, partly cloudy with light winds becoming south to southwesterly. So 22 degrees is perfect temperature.
Perfect temperature for rosé drinking.
and in Federation Square, no less. Now, you mentioned there's probably going to be at least 40, probably more, different rosé wines that are available for sample.
Yes, so there will be plenty to whet your palate and get you excited about rosé, and also lots of winemakers to chat to as well. It is important to get bookings into Fetish as well, because it is filling up quite quickly. It's only $30 and you get, you know, lovely canapés that are going to be paired with rosé. So they'll give
Excellent.
You some ideas about what to do at your barbecues and dinner parties over the summer.
We probably shouldn't have talked about the price, but now that we have, I guess it's too late. So as you mentioned, 8 different winemakers that will be there from the Yarra Valley. And this is just a kickoff, because there is... you know, from there's a rosé trail, for example, that's running through the Yarra Valley that starts on December 1.
December 1st, yes. So, I mean, how beautiful would that be? You see the vines out there with all their lovely flowers and coming into grapes and lots of beautiful leaves and, yeah, wandering
now
around.
Now I know why
Yarra.
I can't get accommodation in the Yarra on that weekend. Thankfully, we've scooped, I think, the last house. We're actually going down to Rochford to... a concert to A Day on the Green.
Of course, definitely.
So yes, it's any wonder that we can't get hold of an accommodation. And then, if you buy a rosé from any of the participating wineries over the summer, so there's going to be wineries in obviously Victoria, New South Wales, South Australia, right across the board, selling their dry savoury rosés through summer, and you can go in the draw to win a trip.
Yes, we have a fantastic trip up for grabs, going up to Port Douglas, which would have to be, you know, the necessity to drink rosé in Port Douglas in such a humid and sunny environment. So, and especially with all that fresh seafood up there, there's nothing better.
I know, coral trout, no less.
Exactly, you could feel like you're almost in the Mediterranean sitting in Port Douglas with rosé.
One of my old stomping grounds actually did work up in Port Douglas. I was just a slip of a boy many, many, many moons ago. So if people want to find out more, they can, of course, go to the website.
Yes, website is rosewinerevolution.com.au. You can also follow us on Twitter at rosewinerev. And if you are enjoying a glass of delicious rosé or have a fantastic recipe that goes with rosé, then please post it on Twitter and put hashtag rosérev.
Or you can find it on Facebook as well, I believe.
Facebook we are on as well. And we do have lots of lovely recipes on Facebook. So if you're wondering what to pair with your rosé or what kinds of rosés are actually going to be supported in the Rosé Wine Revolution, go to Facebook, have a look at the producers around Australia. We have over 80 currently involved. So there's...
And there will be more that come on board as this event unfolds over summer, because summer is the perfect time to be drinking rosé.
It sure is, yeah.
It's hot.
It's hot.
And you're eating a lot of food that is lighter, that is more acidic, that maybe has a slightly higher fat content at times, which is, again, the rosé... That those dry savoury styles will cut through some of that fat.
Yeah, you need that acid in the rosé and good minerality as well to, yeah, really cut through some of those, yeah, heavier foods, which, you know, the sweet toilet duck lolly water rosés just don't do.
Toilet duck. Now, you're currently ensconced at Circa the Prince.
Yes.
Working as a sommelier.
I am indeed, yes.
With Sally Humble.
Yes, Sally Humble's there. Yeah, absolutely.
So a team of women who are overseeing. It's there's been a bit of a changing of the guard.
There has been indeed.
An old buddy of mine I know has moved on, who you know well. Yeah. Actually, two buddies of mine who were there have moved on to Brooks.
To Brooks, yes.
And that's so the ladies have taken over the floor. I think this is a good thing.
Yes, we're taking over, taking it back.
What's your favourite? You talked about charcuterie and jamon. If you were to sit down and have a big belter of a meal with some good dry rosé, what would you have?
As a meal?
Yeah. What would you choose?
Oh, too many choices. I would probably start with some seafood and obviously paella. Paella, you know, prawns, paprika, tomatoes.
Chorizo, chicken.
Yeah, chorizo, chicken, everything in there goes with, you know, those lovely bright flavours of rosé. And, you know, really anything that's coming out in spring at the moment, think of the, you know, it's quite hard to pair a lot of herbs with wine. Mm. And rosé really stands up to them because it actually, you know, reflects some of that those herbal notes and floral notes in the wine. So they're quite a good pairing together. You know, caprese salad and things like that, sweet tomatoes.
Basil. Sounds splendid.
Yeah,
Bri, I know you've got to run off and do some teaching, so thank you very much for joining us on this fine Saturday. Enjoy the rest of your day. The Rosé Revolution kicks off on Wednesday, the 14th of November, so just in a couple of days' time. RosewineRevolution.com.au, you can find out all the details. Bri, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks for sharing the rosé love.
My pleasure. We'll have a couple of messages and we'll come back with, oh, look, a song that might have something to do about wine and summer. It's an oldie but a goodie. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9, where it is 27 minutes past one.
Hello, this is Neil Mitchell. Yes, that Neil Mitchell from 3AW. And you're listening to Joy 94.9, which is a good idea. I do too, sometimes.
Thank you, Neil, for popping in and giving us that message. Pete Dillon with you here until 2 o'clock on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. Just an hour of wonderful food and beverage. But today tends to be more, well, it's all beverage focused, really, let's face it. In the studio, my next guest is Zoe Lake. Zoe is the fundraising and events manager for St. Mary's House of Welcome. Just pull that microphone nice and close to you and say hello to our listeners.
Hi, Pete. Hi, listeners.
Hi, Zoe. And you're here because next weekend at Elwood Park is something that's a hell of a lot of fun. It's, well, talk us through it. What is Wine Rules?
So Wine Rules is a touch football event that aims to raise money for the homeless. So Mary's House of Welcome is a homeless centre in Brunswick Street, Fitzroy, supporting people who are experiencing homelessness and mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
So Wine Rules combines the two loves of wine writer Matthew Jukes from the UK.
Yep.
He's a bit like the James Halliday of the UK. He's a wine writer and blogger. He loves touch football and he loves wine. So he came up with the idea of combining the two to raise money for homeless people.
So we've essentially got a bunch of wineries competing against one another to win a touch football cup.
That's right. So they're playing touch football. Many of them have not played touch football before, but they say maybe it's fun to be terrible and be eliminated early so they can enjoy the day.
They can enjoy the wine. Well, one of those particular winemakers from Shandon is somebody we've spoken to before, I think a couple of years ago when he was a young gun of wine. Dan Buckle, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Pete. Good afternoon, Joey.
Hi, Dan.
Now, Dan, you guys have entered. Talk me through, first of all, how's the team preparing, mate?
Well, we've had a couple of practice runs after work. We've got a bunch of fit guys at work who love a bit of sport, so when they got the chance to sign up and play again, they were really eager. Most of the guys played last year as well, where they did pretty well, and they're a very competitive bunch, so they're all looking forward to the day.
Now, Dan, have you chosen a team name? Have you got yourselves all excited with a bit of a rah-rah? Perhaps you've got your own sort of chant ready to go?
We've been doing a bit of that. If you come down on the day, you'll see it. We might end up in a face paint to intimidate the crowd, but it's all good fun.
Well, some of your competition is coming from the Mosketeers. Now, they are a team of wine folk who are all the way from Innocent Bystander. Tim Shands, their winemaker. Tim, good afternoon.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Good. Now, you've got yourself a name already. Have you guys organised a chant? Have you got cheerleaders?
Oh, we do have cheerleaders. We've actually been here washing cars all day in aid of St. Mary, so the girls have been getting a bit of practice in the cheerleading, not so much practice for the rugby, to be honest.
All right, so Dan, you realise that there's already fundraising started at Innocent Bystander. You guys might be a bit behind the eight ball.
We are. I think that's a great initiative, so good on you, Tim. That's great.
Yeah, and actually, I'm glad you got Dan on the line. I was just wondering if he's actually going to play this year. Is he going to put on his shoes?
Love to see a bit of inter-team rivalry at this stage.
Look, last year I had a go, and the guys on my team just gave me a few minutes with a T-shirt on, and then they were very politely asked me to leave the field.
So you got benched very early, mate.
It was an embarrassing state of affairs, but I was pleased to see them go ahead.
You were in charge of oranges from that point on, or?
Oranges and, yeah,
and beverages.
Sure, the hot chips and the beverages were all flowing. So.
Who plays hot chips while they're involved in a sporting match, Mr. Buckle?
Well, most of our team are up for it. There's all kinds of good things to eat at this event. It's a really great day out.
Excellent. So, Zoe, talk us through how the day happens. What's it look like?
Well, it's like a big wine tasting picnic, really. We've got a wine marquee with over 60 wines available to try. So right. Visitors for the day can try the wines that have been reviewed by Matthew Jukes and put up by the wineries. Each yep. winery has put in two wines.
Yep. And I'm assuming, boys, that you both provide wine to this event for tasting as well. Dan, you're the sparkling man, so yours will probably be up early, I should think.
Yeah. We've got a newly released 2009 Blanc de Blanc up, and that's a really exciting wine. It's looking really good at the moment, so yeah, we'd be proud to pour that one.
Excellent. And Tim?
Oh, well, we're pretty famous for our Moscato, and we've just put that in cans for the first time.
So stop it, you have
a
not.
A nice little way to carry one around the park, I think, with a nice pink straw.
Or a stubby holder. Perfect for outdoor events.
Very good for outdoor events. That's an interesting way to serve Moscato. So it's still got that nice, like, frizzante in it.
Yeah, that's right. Everything's the same. We're just looking for something that suits picnics and cinemas and all that sort of stuff, make it a bit more flexible. So I'll be quite keen to see Dan with a pink straw at the end of his lip.
Tim, what colour are the tins?
Oh, pink, of course.
The Musketeers will all be wearing hot pink shirts on the day as well.
Exactly. As we always do. That's not unusual.
And, of course, your name has come from Moscato, the Musketeers.
Correct. I don't know if there's a feminine version of that, but I think it's mostly going to be girls playing and drinking.
Well, technically, the Musketeers, well, if we think of the Musketeers, there's a thought that the Musketeers were all boys and girls.
Well, there's a precedent. That's good.
There is. So the Musketeers works. Dan, do you feel like you need to go back to the drawing board and do a bit more preparation, mate?
I think so, yeah. I didn't realise that the innocent bystander guys were so far ahead on this. I thought, a couple of runs with the ball after work was setting us up well, but, just got leaps and bounds. So, wait till the day, though, Tim. You'll see once we've got the leather in our hands.
So, a little more seriously, why do you folks get involved with something like this? What is there value in it for you, or is it part of that? Is it the warm and fuzzy feeling, and being able to contribute to something like St. Mary's House of Welcome and eradicating homelessness?
It's seriously a great cause, and Matthew Jukes is a good friend of mine, and when he started this, I just said, absolutely, yes, we'd love to support that. And such a great way to go about the warm and fuzzies, as you say, because it is a great day out and lots of people come down. And, normally we have beautiful weather and, it's a great way to spend a Sunday and run around with a ball a little bit and a bit of friendly rivalry. So, it really gets both of those things going for me.
And Tim, the same with you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've got together this morning and we'll also obviously have the team there on Sunday week. And we all, like everybody, work super hard here and come in and plug away. So it's nice to do something with the guys that's got a bit of purpose as well as being a lot of fun. Mm.
And Zoe, how important is it to you as an organisation, to your organisation, to have this sort of support to raise funds?
An event like this really helps to get the word out about what we do. It is about the money, and we do always need more money to mm-hmm. help as many people as we can. We serve meals 6 days a week to homeless people living in the area and also people living in public housing and living in poverty. So the money is really important, but getting the message out about what we do is really important.
And that
as
you
well.
Actually exist.
That's right.
Charity is, I mean, this industry, the food and beverage industry, is incredibly altruistic. Is mm-hmm. Dine Smart a supporter of St. Mary's as well?
I'm not sure about Dine Smart.
Okay, Dine Smart kicks off. It's a Street Smart kicks off in the next couple of days. Guys, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it's a little $2 donation at the end of every at supporting restaurants. Chuck an extra $2 onto your bill and it all goes towards homelessness
in local areas
as well.
Yeah.
It's now in its, I think, 10th or 11th year. So, guys, I'm going to let you both get back to doing what you do, which is making wine. So a bit of a challenge to one another. Go on, put it out there, and let's see if we can't get some argy-bargy happening between your teams.
There'll be argy-bargy, but there'll be a lot of fun.
And you want people to come down and support you. It's happening at Elwood Park next Sunday, 18th of November. Go down and see Dan Buckle run around. He might even get a half a game this year. Dan, good to talk to you, mate.
Cheers, Pete.
And good luck for next Sunday. And also Tim Shan from Innocent Bystander. Tim, also good to talk to you. Good luck next week with the Musketeers.
Thank you, Reddit.
And try and keep yourself nice. No, not too much pushing and shoving.
Very well.
That's Tim Shan from Innocent Bystander. Thanks to both of them. And Zoe, it's such a good organisation. It's such a good event to get these guys involved with.
We really appreciate the help of the wineries, because without them we wouldn't have wine rules. They donate cases of wine to be sold on the day, and that's where we make a lot of our money. Mm. So we'd love to have lots and lots of Joy listeners come down and buy a glass of wine and enjoy the sunshine and a bit of food. We've got a children's area as well with a jumping castle and face painting.
You'll
for the
struggle
kids.
Struggle to keep me off the jumping castle.
It is one that adults can go on, so you can have a bounce if you like, Pete.
Not appropriate. I don't think I look like a jumping castle at the minute. So it kicks off at 10 o'clock. Now, there's entertainment. There's all sorts of stuff happening all day.
Yeah, we've got live music as well. We've got some local bands, Andrew Lim and Gasoline Inc., who were mm-hmm. originally from Perth and now live in Melbourne.
Yep.
Madison Wilson and a young guy from Tasmania called Luke Bennett, who's coming up to Melbourne, his first time out of Tasmania.
Wow.
So that'll be very exciting for him. And we've got live music, lots of great gourmet food, 60 wines to try,
wow,
and fingers
wines.
Crossed for some beautiful sunshine down
well,
at Elwood
Park. Well, I was just trying to see if I could find a forward forecast to give us a bit of information about next Sunday, because it's I can't seem to find it on here, and my phone's not my phone's. Well,
I've been anxiously awaiting the 7-day forecast, and the forecast for Wednesday was looking like mid-20s and sunshine, so let's hope that continues.
Well, I know what Friday's looking like as well. We'll have a bit of a look just to see what we can find. So you want people to come down and be a part of this great big day. How much do you hope to raise?
We'd like to raise between $40,000 and $50,000 if we can, but the more the better. Most of our fundraising comes from people buying wine on the day and enjoying tasting lots of different Victorian wines. And also we have a silent auction with some fantastic things that have been donated by all sorts of different people.
So we can go down and get ourselves involved with the auction as well. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 22, 22, 22. So if Saturday and Sunday
sounds promising.
Yeah, well, Saturday and Sunday could look pretty much the same. So how long have you been involved with the organisation, Zoe?
I only joined in June, so I'm still very new at St. Mary's.
Wow, you've got you're right across your key messaging.
This event is not new. It's been run 2 times before in Melbourne and 8 times at our sister organisation at Hutt Street in Adelaide.
Yep.
So the model for the event has been done before, so I'm just picking up on the excellent work of the people before me.
Excellent. So people can go to the website.
That's right, www.winerules.com.au. You can also find us on Facebook.
Excellent. So if you get down to Elwood Park, it's just across the road from Elstonwick Railway Station. There's a tram stop outside the front door as well, all for a very good cause to support homelessness, St. Mary's House of Welcome. Zoe, thank you for coming and joining me.
Thanks,
and thanks
Pete.
Also to Tim and Dan. You can get down and check them out there as well. As much as I'm loath to play this song, I really have to. This is a cheap wine. It's a very nice version by Shane Nicholson. Do make sure you get down next Sunday to Wine Rules to touch footy for homelessness. It's a good cause. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It's 2:45.
Joy 94.9.
Need a little more froth on your morning coffee, folks? New to Joy 94.9 from this Tuesday. Wake up with SJ and Jono for a brand new Tuesday breakfast program. New voices, new segments, new fun, and a great mix of hit music. Froth of Joy, your new way to wake up on Tuesdays. Joining the Joy Breakfast team, 6:30 till 9, weekdays on Joy 94.9. Yes, this is Joy 94.9, where it is 10 minutes to 2 here on a beautiful Saturday afternoon in Melbourne. We've covered the Rosé Revolution, and we know that that's happening, kicks off on Wednesday. So a good time to be starting to purchase some nice dry savoury summer rosés and get those into, of course, that event happening at Fetish Federation Square on Wednesday from 5pm. You can jump on their website, find them on Facebook or on Twitter, Rosé Rev, I think, on Twitter, and the rosewinerevolution.com.au is their website. Also, Wine Rules, that wonderful event happening next Sunday, happening at Elwood Park from 10am. The bar's open from 11. Over 60 wines will be showcased on the day, as well as craft beer and cider. Live bands all day, jumping castles, and you get to watch a whole bunch of winemakers and wineries run around and play touch football for homelessness. But that is not all, my friends. Happening at the National Gallery of Victoria on the 27th of November is another event that is somewhat, another worthwhile exercise to be involved with. It is called Dinner with the Angels, and it is for Anglicare. It's going to have just so many wonderful, incredible chefs that we decided we'd try and catch one of them. He is, and I thought we'd keep the wine theme going, from All Saints Winery, the Terrace Restaurant up in Victoria's northeast. Simon Arklas, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, you were formerly at Com, is that correct?
That's right, yeah, I was.
Oh, there you go. So how long have you been up at All Saints?
About 2.5 months, quite recently.
And how's the change been, the tree change?
Yeah, good. I'm still halfway through at the minute. We haven't moved here completely yet. So I'm doing a few Ks on my days off, coming back.
You're commuting?
Yes, well, kind of, yeah. I'm just in the process of renting out a house out. Got to finalise all of that at the minute, but it's doing well.
Very good. So you're involved with Dinner with the Angels, which is happening on the 27th of November at the National Gallery of Victoria in the Great Hall. Talk us through what you know of Dinner with the Angels.
Well, this is the fourth time I'll have done this particular event.
Yep.
Last ones I did, it was a different venue. It was one of the large hotels in the city, so I'm not sure what the facilities will be like. So it's going to be a little bit different doing this.
The Great Hall is magnificent.
This is the ninth year that Anglicare have done Dinner with Angels, and basically it's to raise money for Anglicare's foster program.
Right.
All the money that is raised, basically there's 21 restaurants, I believe, taking part.
Yep.
So there's places like Stoke House and Cumulus.
Well, I was going to say, I will quickly run through them. Apart from yourselves, there's Bottega, Coda, Adam De Silva is taking part. Cumulus, which is, of course, the very lovely Andrew McConnell. Dandelion, which is Jeff Lindsay's new place. Eleanor's at Shadow Yering, which has Chef Matthew McCartney, I'm sure, will be involved. The European with Ian Curley, Huxtable, Oscar W's, Mercer's, Montelto, Persimmon, Red Emperor, Sati, Ricardo Mimeso, who we spoke to just last week. The Stoke House, Saki Restaurant and Bar, Taxi Dining Room with Tony Twitchett, Justin Wise from The Point, Perry Shagan from The Graham, Michael Landby's The Smith, and Union Dining, which is Adam Cash and, I've forgotten the chef's name already, Nikki Reamer. So there is the extraordinary amount of chefs involved with that. And then there's wonderful wines as well, Simon.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I think... who have we got? Just one second. I know that All Saints are donating wine to it. There's also wines from Punt Road, Neagle's Rock,
yep,
Montalto and Pizzini.
Beautiful. So there's going to be some delicious wine. And, of course, as you say, this is for Anglicare, so all of the funding goes to fostering children.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Which are probably some of our state's most disadvantaged.
I believe so, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Hosted by Brian Nankervis, it will be an outstanding night of fine food, wine and entertainment. Simon, you're probably going to be driving back and down for this, I imagine. You should be ensconced by then.
Yeah.
Terrific. Do you know what you're preparing?
Yeah, I do. Doing two courses.
Yep.
I'm doing, as an entree, air-dried Wagyu beef with truffled pecorino, blob artichokes, asparagus, and green olives.
Yum.
Yeah, and then for main course-wise, I'm doing twice-cooked rare breed pork belly.
Stop it.
Spiced spring slaw, quince aioli, And then doing a couple of sides with that as well, just some pink fir apple potatoes with some butter and mint.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Now, I'm on a food and beverage fast at the minute, so... Well, not a fast, I'm on this stupid detox thing. So all of that sounds terribly delicious. So people can go and have a look at... I know there are some tickets still available. AnglicareVic.org.au. And there is a link to Dinner with the Angels on the front page. Simon, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
Good luck for your tree change and once you all get settled. And, of course, good luck for the event happening on the 27th of November.
Thanks a lot, Pete.
Good on you. That's Simon Arklis. He's the chef from the terrace at All Saints Winery. And if you are heading up to Victoria's northeast, I do actually believe that you should be calling in because a friend of mine got married up there, and I can tell you that it's just magnificent. A beautiful venue, beautiful wines, lovely people, and all good. So that's happening. You can support Anglicare. Go to anglicarevic.org.au and do check out that wonderful event. There are some tickets available. If you are a corporate person like you, David McCarthy, if you are still listening, you can buy a corporate package as well and support people who are making a difference with homelessness in this very state. It's 4 minutes to two. The boys from Fender Bender will be with you very shortly to talk all things motor vehicles. But I'll come back and wrap this up in just a minute. It's now 4 minutes to two.
Joy 94.9.
Why do we listen to Joy?
We listen to Joy because it's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Oh, does it get any more camp than that? Of course not. That's a cast of Mary Poppins. Text message. Thank you to whomever sent this in. There's a new Greek, very charming place in Oakley that's just opened called Kalimera Souvlaki Art. Great reviews. Try it. I don't know who you are, but thank you for sending that text message. I won't normally do that, but... Look, why shouldn't I? The boys from Fender Benders with you very shortly. I need to say a wonderful debt of gratitude to Bree Bostov talking about the Rosé Revolution. Simon Arklis just talking to us then about Dinner with the Angels. Zoe Lake from St. Mary's House of Welcome. To Dan Buckle from Shandon and to Tim Shand from Innocent Bystander, all for their wonderful contributions to the show. Next week, back to food, of course, with me here on Cravings every Saturday from 1 o'clock until 2 o'clock. Boys are in now with Fender Bender. They'll keep you talking motor vehicles all afternoon. Do go out and enjoy some of this lovely Melbourne sunshine. And if you are drinking and eating, make sure you do so, of course, within moderation. My name has been Peter Dillon. This has been Cravings on Joy 94.9. It's 2 o'clock.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.